It started with irregular paps. I had my first irregular pap while I was pregnant with my youngest. He's 8 now. And it was a CIN2, and it didn't progress from that. It just kind of stayed at that for a long time. Then I went about 4 years without insurance. And when I came back to the doctor, it was another irregular pap. And I was like, well, whatever. And I've had irregular pap since I was pregnant. But that irregular pap, they were like, well, we need to do a colposcopy. And after the colposcopy, they were like, well, we're going to take a few samples. And they're like, it's a CIN2, really close to CIN3. Let's do a cryotherapy. Okay, come back for the results. Okay, come back another pap. Oh, it's still abnormal. Let's do another biopsy. Let's do another cryotherapy. And I spent, I want to say, like 13 months going to the doctor. I switched doctors 6 times. I was close with my doctor, so he knew how stubborn I was. And I would just come back for my follow-up with him. And I would be like, give me another doctor. Give me another referral. Like, I'm going somewhere else. Somebody's going to do what I want them to do. And he was like, okay, go. And I would just storm into the offices like, I'm here for this. And they would argue with me and try to, you know, start from step one. And let's just do a pap and see where we go from there. Oh, let's just keep an eye on it for 6 months. You're fine. It's all in your head. You're making yourself nervous. And I had one doctor accuse me of postponing work to go to be in the doctor's office. I was like, yeah, like, this is my life with 2 children. I want to be, you know, in a gynecologist's office 3 times a week. And finally, I went to the last doctor, and I was like, this was doctor number 5. And I walked in, and I was like, I'm here for a leap. He's like, well, you know, we're going to have to do a pap first. And I was like, you do me this leap, or I'm leaving, I'm walking out, you're not touching me. I had 4 biopsies, 2 cryotherapies, and like a million follow-ups in like 7 months. And I was just like, somebody needs to go deeper because I know something's up. I was afraid that it was going to get ignored. I'm not a keep an eye on it type of person. I'm like, you dig deep, like, and go look for what I'm telling you is there. I had irregular periods. I was on my period most of the month. I want to say maybe 25 days out of the month I was bleeding. And I had an IUD put in to try to stop my period. And after a year, I was still bleeding most of the month. I was like, that's not normal. But the 5th doctor that I went to see, I told him, this is what I'm here for. And he was very rude, but he did what I wanted him to do. He was like, fine, come in next week into the hospital. We'll put you down and we'll do the leap. It's your body, whatever. Sign this waiver. Let's do it. I think it was a week after the leap that he had me come in and sat me down in his office. And he was like, I want to apologize. You know, I should have listened. You know what's going on in your body. I should have just heard, you know, through the static, kind of, that you knew what you had going on. You had a carcinoma, but it was just much deeper up into the cervix. So the punch biopsies weren't getting nothing but maybe some irregular tissue. And I was like, I know. You know, he's like, you're taking this very well. I'm like, well, I've been trying to tell people for a year that I have cancer, and like, I've fought with my family, I've fought with my doctors, I've fought with the administration at school. It was just like, I knew I just needed someone to tell me so we can pick the next step. And I was like, all right, send me to an oncologist. And my oncologist, when I walked in, he's like, what do you want to do? You have kids. It's really up to you. And I was like, I want a hysterectomy. He was like, okay, as long as you know that it's permanent and that there's no more children after that. I was like, trust me, I was done. I have a 14-year-old who's 6'2". Like, I was done. It was hard fighting because I didn't make plans. Like, while I knew that I was sick, I had trouble looking into my future. And you don't know that until you think you might die. I couldn't look into my future, and I couldn't see. You visualize something for your future when you look forward, and I couldn't. I couldn't see. I was having trouble with my husband because I couldn't see him with me in the future. I just thought that they were all gonna lose me, and they were gonna move on with their lives. Like, I didn't want to do anything in my business. I didn't progress. I felt like I was stuck, like my life froze until I could do something about it. and I didn't want to wait. I saw the oncologist and I picked my surgery date less than a week later. It's just been a trajectory. I blogged about the other day about what cancer does to your life aside from the physical aspects, what it does to you, like what it leaves you with afterwards. Like you dig yourself into this hole financially and emotionally, and I destroyed relationships because I was depressed and I didn't want to speak to anyone. It took a really big toll on me. It takes over and it pauses your life. I didn't want to make new friends. I didn't want to bring anyone into my life, not knowing if I was going to be here in a year, because I didn't know what I did. You don't know. When you're in that lingo and the follow-ups and the wait for this result and then another biopsy and another follow-up, and I felt like I was just like floating and I wasn't going anywhere. It was really tough. I'm Cuban, from Cuba, raised there. My parents don't speak English. Very much old school, kind of sheltered. They didn't know about the vaccines. They didn't know what cervical cancer was. They didn't know what HPV was. The only thing my mom knew about HPV was that there was a shot. And she refused to give it to my sisters. My sisters are younger than me. She thought I was making this stuff up. I spent a year fighting with my family. They sat me down many a times and gave me lectures about, are you really feeling sick? Are you sure these symptoms are not just, you know, heavy periods? I think you're fine. You need to just hurry up and get this over with and go back to work. Like, I was told. It was a battle between all of us. They felt bad for my husband because he was working all by himself while I was, like, at the doctor's office 3 times a week. It was, like, procedure, follow-up, procedure, for procedure. Like, it was back to back to back to back. And when I got my diagnosis, it was, like, it hit them like a bus. Like my mom immediately changed. She apologized and my dad apologized and they were immediately more interested. And the next week both my sisters went and got their first shots. And then they were more open, receptive to talking about it, because before my grandmother was like, where is your uterus? And I was like, what? I'm like, you've lived 72 years with this thing in your body. You can't point to it. You can't tell me. Like, she had no idea. It's so old school, and just kind of the lack of knowing. And I've educated them. And now my mom would go to the grocery store and she'll talk to the cashiers at the registers, the stock boys, anybody. Oh my God, hi, look. Oh my God, look, this is my daughter. My daughter had cervical cancer last year. Do you have kids? You should get your kids vaccinated. Look, she made it. I vaccinated my daughter. It's like, she'll talk to anybody about it now. She figured that if she could tell someone else, that person doesn't have to go through like all the crap that we went through. The doctor's thing was very frustrating for me because I know that doctors have to follow a certain protocol. I feel like patients need to be more informed than they are now, because if a doctor tells you, we'll keep an eye on it and I'll see you in 6 months, if I'd said okay and went home, I could have gotten really seriously sick. And I feel like we have to advocate for ourselves to our healthcare providers so that we can voice our individual needs to them. They have their protocol, which applies to the general public, but everybody has very specific needs from their doctor. That if you don't voice them, they won't be met.